What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, big Saturday, a lot going on. The 128th big game between Cal and Stanford later today. And, of course, the IUK stuff at the absolute breaking point. We'll talk about that. Niners and Panthers go Monday night. John Chapman is in the house. Let's go. Off and running Saturday morning. 9:11 on the West Coast, 11 minutes afternoon back east. Welcome to November the 22nd, Saturday, November the 22nd. Welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig and a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig and a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Corte Madera. They're in Emeryville, and they got a brand new location opening in Petaluma. And we'll tell you more about that. We'll be out at Corte Madera for the Krug Show meet and greet on December the 7th. You're all welcome to stop by. It's going to be kind of an open house. We'll have some barbecue. There'll be some drinks. I'll give away some prizes. I've got a Ricky Pearsall signed mini autographed helmet to give away to some lucky Ricky Pearsall fan. And it will go to the first person who scores a touchdown in Ricky Pearsall's name. No, just joking, Ricky. Just joking, but Ricky did sign that, and we will be giving that away on December 7th in Corte Madera. So join us out in Corte Madera. We'll have a flyer. Kev has put up a flyer. I'll put it out on social media. You guys can all see it. We'd love to see you all there, but let's just get right into it. And, of course, we're also brought to you by Sleeper and Habits Law. We'll talk more about them, as well as Sharp Corners, Sports Cards, and Collectibles. But let's get right into the meat and potatoes of last night, which was the Dinah Russini, Mike Silver story that the Niners are basically parting ways with Brandon Ayuk. I mean, it's really as simple as that. We could go into lots of details, but the 49ers are basically saving $20 million in the process. Ayuk is not planning on fighting this. The 49ers are taking away all the guaranteed money on his contract. Since he's not fighting it, it sounds like both sides have kind of agreed that there's going to be a mutual parting of the ways. We're talking about a year and a half of, you know, this is literally getting divorced after the honeymoon. They signed a 4-year deal with this guy for $120 million a year and a half ago. They could have traded him for a second round pick. No, they could have traded him for a player in a third round pick. No. They had to re-sign him to a 4-year, $120 million extension. Immediately, both sides hated each other, and you could see it. You could absolutely see it. I'm done listening to their quotes and their comments, and I'm just going to tell you what I saw. These guys didn't like each other. Shanahan didn't like Ayuk. Ayuk didn't like Shanahan. Ayuk's wearing the wrong shorts to practice. He had a bad attitude. He never really wanted to be. I think he wanted his money, but I don't think he wanted to have his money and stay. And he got his money and stayed, and it was immediately, obviously, the wrong decision. And now here we are, a year and a half later, and it's over. And it's a shocking end. And once again, the Niners, of their weirdness with the wide receiver position. It's like the franchise that was blessed with Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens has been cursed at this position since. It's amazing. John, give me your thoughts on this one. Ayuk, you know, we knew something weird was happening. We knew something was weird. Something was afoot. I talked about it yesterday with Chase Sr. on the stream that I did Friday was that just before the news came out that, You know, Mayoko was talking about how Ayuk was maybe done with the Niners, and Tim Kawakami was talking about how Ayuk was done with the Niners. And then Matt Barrows is basically saying that, you know, this is really weird. It seems we're not seeing more of him as he gets further along in the rehab. We're seeing less of him. So there was weird stuff going on. Everybody kind of knew it. And yesterday the pimple got popped. What'd you think?
I think that the way in which that negotiation went down both left kind of buyers and signers remorse. Yeah, Brandon Ayuk was staging videos to try to make it look like he, you know, wanted to be with the Commanders and his best friend Jaden Daniels and all that kind of stuff. It was just weird, man. Debo was weird. This was a whole nother level. And Kyle Shanahan kind of put his foot down, ran upstairs, the famous, like, oh man, we've got to keep him. We can't trade this guy in kind of the 11th hour. But there was no walking back from that. And then you get the weirdest part to me that I think people leave out is when they announced the signing of the contract, Brandon Ayuk gets up there, and I think you were there, Larry, whenever they're like, talk to us about the process. And he gets up there and laughs and says, yeah, I made it a lot harder than it needed to be, and chuckled. And it was just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why would you do that to your teammates, to the front office, to all, like, it was just beyond repair with the way Brandon Ayuk and perhaps the way the 49ers are not clean in this, no doubt about it. But, you know, Brandon Ayuk rejecting trades, the 49ers rejecting trades, both of them like, dude, you don't get to pick where you go. We're not trading you to an NFC, you know, conference contender just because your quarterback's the friend. That's not how it's going to work. It's so like with the Debo case, there was one team trying to get Debo. That was the Commanders. So that's why you would do that. You turned down some great trades, and the 49ers, they're going to get stuck with the bill. But I think that the best thing that could have happened, and this was all before the injury too, like Brandon Ayuk was the worst graded blocking wide receiver on the 49ers team before he got hurt through those seven games. Can you imagine saying that after 2023? Like, that dude put everything on the line nonstop. Then he comes out in 2024 after the deal was signed. You got the shorts thing, not trying really hard in practice, just acting like you don't want to be here, refusing to block, dropping passes. This, you know, marriage works when two people want to be together. I don't think either one of the 49ers or Brandon Ayuk wanted to be together, probably after about four games into the 2024 season.
They just, you know, I think the 49ers, they fall in love there. You know, I've said this the entire time. When you're around Kyle, he gives you a vibe like he's one of the players. He doesn't feel like the coach when he's on the field. Not that he's not qualified. He is plenty qualified. Not that he's not respected. He's plenty respected. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying, this guy's wearing Yeezys. You know, this guy's wearing,
named after Lil Wayne album. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, this guy's hanging with Rick Ross at his parties. You know, he's not your typical old school NFL coach. He's kind of like one of the players. Then he hired a GM who is a player, a former player. So, and Kyle himself. Now, all football coaches are on some level former players. Kyle wasn't a pro player. He wasn't even much of a college player, I hate to say that, but you know, he played college football at a major program, so he was a player, and Lynch is a player. And if there's anything I would say is that I think the NFL, sometimes the coaches and the executives are too disconnected from the players. I would make the other argument with Shanahan and Lynch that they may be too connected. They're too connected to their players. It's too personal. The best personnel people, whether it be Bill Walsh, Jimmy Johnson, if you want to go in different sports, you want to go in the NBA, Rod Thorne, Jerry West, whoever you want to say is the greatest GM, Sam Presti right now at the Oklahoma City Thunder, Howie Roseman of the Philadelphia Eagles, there's always a relative coldness to the best personnel guys because they have to say goodbye at any moment when it's no longer suits them. When it no longer suits them to have you around, it's time for them to say goodbye. And if they're any good at their job, they say goodbye. Well, the 49ers, they love their guys. Kyle goes to Cabo with his guys. You know, Lynch is slapping skins with his guys. I mean, they're down in the foxhole with their guys. And this is the downside of it, is they get too connected. What have the Chiefs done? What did the Chiefs do with Tyreek Hill? They said goodbye. What did Green Bay do with Devontae Adams? They said goodbye. What did Buffalo do with Stephon Diggs? They said goodbye. What did the Niners do with Ayuk? They got dragged around by the freaking... I got dragged around for 6 fucking months by the goddamn nose, and then they paid him. What did they do with Debo when he was insubordinate? They should have benched his ass. Instead, the next 7 balls in the next game went to him. They're too close to their guys. It's a no... Any good trait, if carried to a great to a certain extent, can be a bad trait. Is it good that they're down with their guys? Yeah, it's good. Is it good that they're in the foxhole with their guys? Yeah. Do the guys like it? Yeah. But this is the downside. It's hard when you go Cabo vacationing to say, hey, you know what? Goodbye. And they're going to have to say goodbye to forget this guy. They didn't care about this guy. They didn't like this guy. They love McCaffrey. They love Trent. They love Kittle. They love Purdy. They love, you know, they love these guys. And they're going to have a hard time saying goodbye to those guys. I think this is kind of the downside of Lynch and Shanahan, is that they should have made a clean cut and looked at this thing and said, hey, look, wide receiver is the most dominant, most packed position in all of the draft. Every last 7 drafts, 6 of them have been burgeoning wide receiver drafts because everybody's running 5 wide. Everybody's got a ton of receivers. There's more receivers, more spread every year. So there's a ton of options. There's a ton of options this year already at wide receiver. So I think they paid the, you want to pay a left tackle, do it. You want to pay a defensive tackle or a defensive end, a superstar linebacker, a number one corner, you know, quarterback, fine. Stop paying diva wide receivers, please. Please.
Yeah.
And don't fall in love with JJ now either, because JJ is closer to done than he is to the beginning. And don't go right out of this bad relationship and run into another bad relationship. Don't make JJ your rebound.
Imagine if they would have made Ayuk play on that 5th-year option that every first rounder gets. Like, Niners would have made out like bandits.
Yeah.
Goodbye, clean break, not cost you anything. Like, and you know, I love your take on Kyle being too close to players. The nuanced take of that is, well, you don't get Trent Williams if Kyle Shanahan isn't the buddy-buddy, you know, like, but you are correct. And I'm hoping that this is a turning point, very similar to how Trey Lance was for this front office, where, man, after the Trey Lance, you know, debacle or whatever, falling out trade, they have stopped drafting these inexperienced college players. After Javon Kinlaw, they stopped drafting injury-prone college players. And so, like, I'm hoping that this transitions out of, look, who did you extend this offseason? Colton McKivitz, who showed up to practice. George Kittle, who was there practicing. Brock Purdy, who was there practicing, right? Like, you go, Fred Warner, who was there practicing. You didn't extend Juwan Jennings, who was, you know, trying to do this Brandon Ayuk Debo playbook crap. Like, man, cut that out. And I'm hoping the 49ers' new staple is, we ain't doing contract extensions on holdouts. Now, there's going to be somebody that's going to break that trend and whatever else, but, like, dude, let's be done with that. Let's work on people that want to be part of the 49ers. And you hear John Lynch say this every draft. We want guys that love football. We want guys that love this game. B.A. fit into that until he didn't, right? And now, like, that dude's giving back, what, $26 million just because he's upset? That's insane to me. I hope everything's all right with B.A. I'm very thankful that he is done with the 49ers, but I am kind of concerned, just like, man, there's something not right there. Hopefully he's all right. And I don't want to pile on too much, but good Lord, that is insane decision.
Well, it's an awful, awful decision by the front office and you know, Lynch and Shanahan. I mean, the Niners paid him. The end result of this is the Niners have paid Brandon Ayuk $48.9 million over 24 and 25 on his big deal. And if they wind up cutting him, it's going to wind up being, you know, they got 7 games. 25 catches,
not even,
and no touchdowns. That's what you got out of your monster Ayuk extension. Oh my God. I mean, now this, I think yesterday was a great day for the Niners, because now they can cleanly exit The Niners are now free to clear up $85 million of salary cap space to Ayuk over the life of the contract in 26, 27, and 28. So basically you're voiding, $27 million from his 2026 deal, but then he's also willingly walking away from the rest of it, which I got to think is maybe one of the dumbest decisions I've ever heard. You just had a life-altering, catastrophic knee injury that makes you a diminished player, and you're going to take the guaranteed money that you do have on your current deal, and just because you want out, you're going to relinquish the other team, the Niners' responsibility to pay you any of that money, and now you're going to throw yourself back into an open market situation. And I think he's going to get the slap of slaps from the rest of the league. And I don't know if he understands that or if he gets it and he just doesn't care. But you never, when your body is your livelihood, you never want to put yourself in an open market situation when that body's broken and when there's doubt about the durability of that body going forward. Because why is anybody going to give this guy the big bag ever again just on the injury front? I would say he's going to have to play a year or two of really, really good high-end football and stay healthy before he's going to secure another bag that's anywhere close to what the previous deal was. So this is
prove it deal.
This is just, I mean, whoever's advising him is giving him horrible advice, because John, when you're young, you think that your body lasts forever. And then you have a couple surgeries and you realize, oh, wait a second, that's never going to be better. You know, I'm always going to have this pain. I'm always going to have this. I'm always going to have that. And then you realize, you know what? They say youth is wasted on the young. I mean, it's like, you don't get five different bodies to go through. You only have one. So when your body breaks and your body's your livelihood, to throw yourself back into an open market situation seems really, really reckless on the part of Ayuk.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right. Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
That hate must run deep. And yeah, it, like it, it's what was it? The fact that they made you $32 million a year wide receiver. Like, what was it that made Ayuk so upset? That's a weird thing. And maybe that never comes out. You know, Ayuk doesn't like being in front of the mic. It's not his thing. So like, I don't know, maybe he does another stage video with his mom and, you know, whatever else. And we get the information out that way, but it's weird. And the 49ers, they got kind of, they got thrown a lifeline here because they get out. It was back to back 40 plus million dollar cap hits.
Yeah.
For Brandon Ayuk coming up in 2028. So now you're just like, oh, all right, we can pay another all pro style player. You know, the 49ers younger, cheaper. I think that's still going to continue to be the MO moving forward. But this is going to allow you to establish some depth in the offseason at the free agency spot. Oh, there it is.
Here it is. The day I was standing 20 feet away from this. We'll kill the volume. We don't really need to hear all the music in the background.
Yeah.
But here it is. Shanahan basically saying, hey, everybody else is out here in uniform. Why aren't you in uniform? So this is the total high school move by Ayuk because he's got the right shorts on. They're just on underneath the red shorts. Now, if you wanted to make no big deal about it, you would just slide down the red shorts and keep going. And it would be like a 2-second exchange. But instead, watch what happens here. So Shanahan's explaining to him, hey, man, if I let you wear whatever you want, then I got to let these guys over here wear whatever they want. And then pretty soon we're not a team anymore. You see what I'm saying, Brandon? That's what the uniform is. We're a team. We wear the same stuff. You know, you can understand that. We're a team, right? He's like, yeah, man, but I'm wearing what I want to wear. No, but hey, man, I get that. I hear you, but we're a team. And you know what? Go ahead. Go inside. You want to go wear those shorts? Wear them inside. Otherwise, why don't you wear them out? Why don't you get some black shorts on? Because we're all wearing black shorts today. And instead of just sliding them down, takes off his gloves. Now the players are looking over. What's going on? Now he's unlacing his shoes.
You got to unlace your shoes. Like, you don't have to do that to take athletic shorts off. Everybody knows that. Yeah, like,
if you could slide them off. Now you're done. You got the right shorts on underneath. Look at that. Or he's going to kick his shorts like he's a petulant 13-year-old. This is like my 15-year-old. Where I say, hey, take out the fucking trash already. Take out the trash. And then he grabs the can. Oh, he starts hurling it towards the curb. Hey, listen, you spill that on the curb, you're picking up all that garbage.
Oh, it's funny. You said high school. When this video came out, I was like, dude, that's straight middle school behavior. One year I coached middle school football before I went to coach high school. And it happened one time. One time in my entire 15-year coaching career that I had to deal with a uniform issue like this, and it was the one year I coached middle school. Never happened at high school. So 15 years happened one time, and shout out to Jamari if you're watching this. I guarantee you he's not watching this. yeah, that was – I was like, dude, all right, you fix it or you go inside. It's simple. It's about the team. It's about you. Which one is it? It's very clear who BA was out for. It's very clear. Now, I want what's best for him moving forward. And I hope a lot of Niners fans kind of take, like, be thankful he's gone. Be thankful that you get back all that money. Be that. Hope he does well.
Hey, Niner fans, if you're sitting around complaining and bitching today, you just got out of your timeshare for free. You just got out of your ridiculous timeshare that you were going to spend millions on in the future. And you're now out of it. And instead of getting pissed about it, go throw a party. You're out of your timeshare. I mean, that's basically what happened here.
Yep.
Kind of. I mean, if you're trying to understand it. We got this one from Matt Cornell. He says, Krug, explain the cap ramifications if you can, please. All right. Well, you know, I will go to the great philosopher. I'll go to the great philosopher.
I already know who you're going to. That was amazing.
I'll go to the great philosopher. The all-knowing, the omniscient narrator of Niner football, Dave Lombardi.
Oh, home run.
And David says, Brandon Ayuk's 2026 salary cap situation. The current hit, $15.4 million. Hit if he's cut outright, $29.6 million. Hit if he's cut post-June 1st, $13.3 million. A post-June 1st cut simply stiff arms, accelerated money, and has it hit in the future. Cap space is connected from year to year, so the 49ers would avoid $85 million altogether by moving him, moving on from Ayuk, of which the $27 million has been guaranteed. So a post-June 1 maneuver is what would allow for the most short-term money flexibility, according to Dave. And I'll freely admit, Dave knows more about the Niners cap than I do.
So dude, if the Niners do a post-June 1st cut, do you understand how much of a middle finger that is to Ayuk? Because that means he wouldn't be able to negotiate with teams until after free agency, till after the draft. Like, that is undercutting him even further. That would give the Niners more cap space in 2026, less cap space in 2027. So are they trying to rip the Band-Aid off? If that's the case, you just cut him as soon as you can. You take that full cap hit all in 2026, but then it's done. Or do you want that cap hit spread out over 2 years, all while screwing Brandon Ayuk even further?
Here's one more, because Dave has multiple of these explanations. This is what I love Dave for. Dave's got this. He says, for wondering about dead money, with the 2026 $27 million voided now, the accelerations onto the 49er books, if Brandon Ayuk is cut, would be from the 24 signing bonus proration, which is $13.8 million, and a 2025 option proration, which is $18.2 million. So $32 million, all money the 49ers have already paid Ayuk, and is going to hit the salary cap regardless at some point. Cutting Ayuk outright would cost the Niners $16.6 million in additional 26 cap room. They can wait until after June 1st to push some of that to some of that cap load back to 2027.
So it's depending bad, on when but it ain't awful. It's bad, yeah. But it ain't awful.
Oh, I mean, it's a major, major it's a major savings. I mean, you know, I hate to say this, and this sounds really bad, but you know, a lot of times teams are about the players only what they can do for them. And I get the feeling that the Niners may have been done with Ayuk as soon as the injury happened. I mean, they were done with they didn't love the contract to begin with, and I'm not sure if he's their favorite guy, period. But as far as, like, we're getting out of this, it's like once he was broken, they were not going to just, you know. I mean, I think they were looking for a way out.
Can't trade that contract on a broken player. That contract was awful.
Right.
I said when they signed it, when the details came out, it's like, this is the worst NFL contract outside of quarterbacks across the entire NFL. Like, it was horrible. Back-to-back $40 million cap hits. Ah, Niners got so lucky here.
Niners got lucky, and Ayuk now is gambling on himself. He's going to have to play on a one-year prove-it deal to try to get a 3 or 4 year deal. You know, because teams are going to be worried about his health and his durability. And I mean, it's a major, this is one of the biggest fumbles of cash. This is one of the worst contractual fumbles by a player of our lifetime that I can remember, as far as, like, you know, where a player really made a bad decision, because now you're going out into the marketplace off of 3 torn ligaments and, you know, an injury that's really big, huge, and you're a receiver. So it's like receivers and corners just have to go, like, full bore at all times. And if you're not, like, 100% healthy, as we saw with Ricky Pearsall, you can't play receiver. And the same thing could be said for corner. You can't play corner if you're not healthy. So the fact that this guy's, you know, body is just beat up, and now he just walked away from guaranteed money. I mean, even if he walked away from $10 of guaranteed money, it's probably short-sighted, especially when you see that the average NFL player is broke within 3 years of stopping playing. And, you know, right now, I'm sure it seems like, oh, you've got all the money that you're ever going to need. Something tells me you probably are going to need more. That would be my guess. Does this make Juwan Jennings, do you think the Niners, this is like a philosophical thing now where they're like, you know what, screw big money on receivers. We're not doing that anymore. Say goodbye to all of them, including JJ in the offseason. Or do you think, you know, does this Ayuk thing make them go, you know what, we're not paying any of these diva wide receivers who have an overinflated opinion of their self-worth. We're not paying any of these guys. That's it. And we're moving on, and JJ's going to move on. Or do you look at this? Because there was a report a couple weeks ago and I don't know who had it. I wish I could remember. But it basically, John, said Juwan Jennings will not be coming back to the 49ers unless Ayuk's contract is not on the books. It was like somebody made that connection a couple weeks ago. Like as long as the Niners have Ayuk, they won't be signing Jennings to any kind of an extension. But now that they've found a way to, you know, somewhat painlessly get out of the Ayuk, do you think that means JJ, they try to keep JJ around? Lynch says JJ's his favorite player.
Yeah, I would prefer to move on personally because I want a true X wide receiver that can stretch the field vertically. JJ can't do that. JJ's awesome. He hasn't been awesome this year, but JJ has been awesome, and I know he played up to that X spot. No, I don't think that it's a fit moving forward. I want a true X wide receiver for the 49ers. I think that somebody, JJ's great, but are you going to like move him back down to his number three role? If that's the case, what he's getting paid right now doesn't even fit that. Like, you're already overpaying him if he's just going to be the number three. Ricky Pearsall is going to play the Z. Like, that's locked up. Hopefully he stays healthy. The problem is you need a vertical field stretcher at that X spot. I would not want the 49ers to sign Juwan Jennings long-term. And again, you know, another Juwan Jennings followed the IU playbook. Didn't go well for him. And now you look at Juwan Jennings, and it's funny. I said the same thing about IU. He is currently the worst blocking run-blocking wide receiver the 49ers have on the team. Kendrick Bourne's out-blocking this dude. Now, his play is ascending, but I don't think so. I really think I don't want to pay more wide receivers. I just don't. That market is so inflated. Like, and if he wants that top-tier money, go get it. Get that compensation pick. Get a true X wide receiver, whether it's somebody in free agency. I wish Jordan Watkins was getting snaps right now to see if he could one day take over that role. We don't know because he's a healthy scratch. And it's not like I dislike Juwan Jennings. I just dislike Juwan Jennings as a true X 100% of the time because he just cannot win vertically. That's why I would move on personally. Plus the offseason stuff. Oh, I'm injured, and then zero workouts on the side field to step into a full practice. Yeah, I don't know. Set the tone. Move on from this type of behavior. I love Juwan Jennings, but you know, if you needed a Z wide receiver, cool. If you needed a slot wide receiver, cool. You need an X. I don't think he's an X.
I think beyond his exact position, he's got real value in the room as a leader. Mm-hmm. And I would retain him if you could pay him in the neighborhood that he actually lives in. You know what I mean?
What he's getting paid now, but he threw that huge fit.
Yeah, he's a third wide receiver.
Correct.
He's not a star. Don't pay him like a star. And he's not a star. He's not even a dominant number one or dominant number two. He's just not. So pay him like what he is. And if you can work out a deal, if he's going to be realistic about what he actually is, and they can work out a deal that's commensurate with what he actually contributes, then I would say absolutely bring him back because of his leadership. And also because you're now going to be somewhat thin at this position and his toughness. I do want to replicate that kind of toughness. So I want as many tough guys as I can in the room. And he's definitely fits that description. So, but I hear you though. I mean, there's no way I'm giving him the big bag. And if that's what he wants, I'll drive him to SFO and wish him well. And, you know, thank him for his time. Grant's asking the question this morning, as only Grant can. Do you think Adam Peters tampered? That's an interesting. I mean, if Grant, if nothing else, man, he knows the interesting buttons to push. I mean, it's an interesting conversation. I mean,
but they have one of the best X's in the NFL. Yeah, they'd like to also get Ayuk, but Terry McLaurin is the truest definition of an X wide receiver in the NFL. Like truest. I don't know. I that doesn't make sense. Why would he do that against one of his longtime friends? I think that is just. Yeah, I 100% disagree with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's asking the question, but my answer would be no. No, Adam Peters didn't tamper with him. I mean, yeah. I'm sure Peters...
Him and John Lynch are like best friends and go running and work out together all the time. Why would he do that?
Well, he's not going to undercut the Niners, but he may have said to... He may have said to Ayuk or his agent, hey, you know, when everything gets settled, give us a call. I mean, that's all he really needs to say. If you can shake yourself free, give us a call, you know, something like that. And then all of a sudden that's motivation, but that actually could be viewed as influencing Ayuk to help Lynch. You know what I mean? Hey, John, I talked to Ayuk and I told him, you know, if he ever gets separated from you guys, to give us a call. And so now he wants out and he's willing to just let you guys, you know, recoup some of this money and just walk out, you know, without all the money that he could be rightfully his. And that could be seen as a pro Lynch move. How about the bigger question, which is this question that Chase Sr. is kind of broaching here, which is, are the Niners now officially screwing up the draft too much? Are they screwing this up as far as the first round? Look at this first round. I mean, they've had seven first round picks of the first seven, or they've had nine, but of the first seven, they only have Bosa. I mean, literally between 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, you've got a bunch of drafts there. You've got Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, Mike McGlinchey, Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, Brandon Ayuk, and Trey Lance. You have six now guys that are moved on or misses, and one hit, and that hit was the second pick.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that big time. Like, Mike McGlinchey was terrible, but he's still, like, one of the top 10 right tackles. Like, yeah, he struggled with getting beat around the edge and couldn't anchor. I understand that.
Okay.
That dude is still awesome. Like, he's a good player. I'm glad he's gone, by the way. Nick Bosa, amazing.
But didn't get the second contract.
Didn't get that. And I'm thankful that they didn't get that.
And he was Brandon Ayuk was a hit. Picked in the top 10.
Brandon Ayuk was a hit. Like, that was
Brandon Ayuk. But I'm just saying, as far as what this team has to show for it, because now we're talking about you're the architect. You know, the GM is an architect. An architect his job is to build. And of your number one picks, which are your gold bullion in the personnel world, you only have Mikel, Pearsall, and Bosa left of all nine of your first round draft choices.
I would say that's probably pretty accurate for most teams. Like, you've got four. Like, first round's a 50% hit rate. Most of your picks have been late. I think that they were hitting on a lot of these. I see McGlinchey as a hit, even though I don't like watching him play for my team. Nick Bosa, a hit. Brandon Ayuk, a hit. Ricky Pearsall is a hit, even if you don't like the injuries. Mikael Williams looked very promising for what you got for him. Wasn't a home run, not necessarily like a top 11 pick, but definitely not a miss. So I don't know. And, you know, if you discount picks, you know, round second through seventh, then sure. The last few drafts have been awesome. The 2022 draft, the 2021 draft, horrible. But, man, you're going back-to-back years of great drafts. Not good drafts, great drafts. So I get the question whenever you do this. It looks bad, but, like, yeah.
I'm encouraged, but, I mean, these are the number ones. And Solomon Thomas was a top five number one. You
that
passed
was a
on,
huge miss.
You passed on Mahomes. Huge you passed miss. On TJ Watt. You passed on whatever. You know, you went for a pass rusher. They were better guys. Reuben Foster, horrible pick, never played. Kinlaw. I mean, Lance. I mean, it's even worse than that because there's more picks attached to Lance. So, and then the ones that we do like are Pearsall, and he has no touchdowns this year, and McKelly's got one sack. So I'm just, you know, as far as just pure production, we're not seeing a lot of pure production out of this list. Now, I agree with you. This is a snapshot. It's doesn't show the other rounds. They've had better luck in the other rounds, but, man, I mean, just look at it this way. If they had hit on half of these instead of, you know, you said the hit rate's 50%. I would say that's fair. Hit on half. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players. And to hit on half would be 4.5 hits. And I don't see 4.5 hits there. I see under. So I know what you're saying. It's not 0 for 9, but it's not 4 for 9 either. It's more like 3 for 9. We'll go 4 for 9 because we'll go Bosa, Ayuk, Pearsall, and Williams.
I think that's fair.
I don't know about McGlinchey because McGlinchey's a right tackle pick.
He's one of the highest paid players in the NFL, and the freaking team loves him. Like, yeah, he's got his flaws, but that right tackle spot sucks in the NFL.
But I mean, he was a right tackle that didn't earn a second contract with the Niners. So I don't know.
True.
But I mean, it's not a great list. All right, let's get on to Carolina. We only have another 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes before I'm going to jump over to KMBR. And John's going to come over today with me.
Ooh.
We're going to do a segment together on 49er Forecast.
I love it.
On these sports leaders. So we're looking forward to that. We'll stop sharing the screen and we'll talk a little bit about this matchup. How do you see Niners-Panthers in this game? Is this going to be a shootout, like 30-27, kind of like what Atlanta and Carolina had a week ago? Or is this going to be a far more muted, less lower scoring type game? What do you envision?
I see the 49ers being able to score. The question is, are the Panthers going to be able to kind of hold serve and also drive up those points? Because that really hasn't been what they have done. You look at the Panthers' opponents. Yeah, they scored 30 points last week, but before that, 7 points, 16 points, 9 points, 13 points. So out of the past month, they've had a couple offensive explosions against the Falcons and the Cowboys and the Dolphins. And I think the 49ers defense kind of fits in that category in its current state. Will they be able to hold serve? They want to run the ball, and they run the ball very well. The Panthers do. Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard, they're great. I would argue the Panthers offensive line, they have three studs on that offensive line, but it's not a complete group. And so can they hold serve? I expect the 49ers to score some points. I expect the 49ers to break the 30-point barrier again. And can the Panthers keep serve with that? I'm not sure they can.
Do you think that how do you think the 49ers are going to try to match up with Teteroa McMillan? McMillan is 6'4", 6'5". He's got huge vertical, and they've used him in an increasing amount out of the slot in recent weeks. And the Niners have, a really good slot corner in Upton Stout, but he's a rookie and he's 5'8". Do you think that Saleh tries to, you know, maybe move some guys around and try to get a different body type on McMillan? Or do you think he'll be okay throwing, the smaller player who's got a speed advantage, but obviously a size disadvantage on Teteroa, who's coming off his best game of the year, I think.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And it's not just Tet. Xavier Leggett, another huge out of South Carolina, big wide receiver.
Yeah.
So I think that they're going to go a myriad of ways against Tet McMillan. They're not going to rotate corners. They're going to keep Renardo Green and Demo where they are. They do the big slot, and then they do a true nickel slot where it's going to be Jason Pinnick and Upton Stout. So, you know, depending on how they want to use Tet, the 49ers have small wide receivers or corners everywhere. I mean, by far, one of the smallest three starting corners in the NFL. Demo's the largest. He's 5'10". Yeah, Renardo Green's even smaller, but you looked at Renardo Green and what he's been able to do. He's at his best against big wide receivers. He had his best game in the NFL against DK Metcalf. He had his best game in college against Malik Nabers at LSU. So, like, these smaller guys, just because, you know, you look at the the boxer tail of the tape and the height and the reach and all that stuff, it looks like a mismatch. But the 49ers have gone after these corners that are nuisances to these bigger wide receivers that can't get that separation. Now, Tet runs great routes and gets separation. I think the 49ers are going to just basically do their cover three, cover four palms coverage and say, look, we're going to give up the underneath stuff. We're not going to let them beat us deep. That's the whole idea. Can Bryce Young and this Panthers offense generate these 12, 13 play drives continuously 5 times throughout the game? We'll have to see. So I think it's just going to be keep everything in front, rally and tackle. I don't expect to see a lot of press man outside of cover six, but I want to see how these corners perform against these stronger wide receivers. This is what they were drafted for.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the Niners match up with McMillan. Can they stop Dowdle? Dowdle hasn't looked as good the last couple weeks as he did against Miami and Dallas earlier. The other thing I'm looking for in this game, and the only part of Purdy's performance last week that I didn't feel like I got an answer on. Like, what did you think of Brock? Well, I thought his arm strength looked pretty good at times. He had a couple, really loopy passes, but I thought basically he looked pretty good. I thought his accuracy definitely was good. I mean, he threw a couple dimes that won the Kittle to start off the game, obviously, the first touchdown or the second touchdown, I should say. But the escapability is the one thing that I still have questions about. There were a couple times where he looked like he could escape and just opted not to, stayed in the pocket and kind of drifted. And maybe I feel like in the past, Brock would have seen that lane and just took off. And I've heard Tim Ryan say that later in the week as well, that he felt like there were a couple avenues there that he didn't take as a runner. Lynch said it was more game, you know, it was kind of just game sequence. It was a really more about the, you know, the conditions and the, not the conditions, but the game flow. And it just didn't call for that. I think that's kind of a convenient excuse. I think he's hesitant to run and doesn't want to run. And that's my one thing is when he gets up against better defenses, can he escape? But what do you think about his escapability and his movement?
Yeah, there were three issues for Brock coming back. Can he plant on his front foot whenever he's throwing? He showed that continuously throughout there, so I love that. Can he escape in the pocket and have all that sudden burst movement? You saw a little bit of it, but not much. And then three, can he scramble? Didn't see one scramble. This looked like 2022, 2023 Brock, and then you get to the 2024 seasons where he really started running, you know, on that playoff run in 2023. That's when that changed. We haven't seen that yet. And that's whenever he got re-injured against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So definitely was just, hey, let's be a little cautious with this. If it's there, take it. But the movement looked good. So, you know, how you measure that moving forward, I'd like to see Brock get back to trying to push the chains with his feet. But we'll see. We'll see what that looks like.
Thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We should tell everybody this entire 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper Picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry and Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply, and thanks to Sleeper. And there it is right there. Get a $100 deposit match up to $100. Use code Larry, L-A-R-R-Y. And thanks to Habas Law as well. Omar Habas, Tarek Habas. Right now, hunger is hitting the community hard. I mean, this is the time of year. Families are trying to hold it together. You got veterans quietly struggling. Even teachers who care for our kids are struggling. As the school holidays begin, thousands of children will lose one meal that they can count on. So if you would please help us join Habas Law's team in the fight against hunger with Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes is a lifeline serving hot, dignified meals. No judgment, no barriers. Join Omar Tarek and the Habas Law team. Visit loavesfishes.org. Habas Law, fighting to end hunger, fighting to make it right. They're great attorneys as well. 1-800-INJURED. Habas Law on the web, HABBAS Law.com. They will fight to make it right. And thanks to Habas Law for doing these initiatives and caring about our community. We need more private-public partnerships to bridge the gap between what the municipalities can no longer afford to do and what can be helped out through the private sector. And I'm all about these things. I'm all about trying to give back. And I know Habas Law is, and it's one of the reasons I really love having them as a sponsor. So thank you, Omar. Thank you, Tarek, for being so charitable and being involved with so many great causes. We'll roll through our supers before we bolt. We got this one from Silent. Ricky makes it okay. Way better attitude. Okay. David Esger says, Ayuk is done with football. Won't play again. Wow. I disagree with that. I think he's going to play. Don Tapia, 9559. What can the Niners spend this money on now? How about, offensive tackle, defensive tackle? That's what comes to mind. Maybe a number one corner. Maybe instead of getting a number one receiver, maybe a number one corner. Boxing fans times four, Carnell Tate. Yeah, what do you think? He can block. I love Carnell Tate. Buckeyes, probably the second best receiver on his own team, but he's a great receiver, and he's terrific. He would be terrific in the draft. The kid from Louisville is really, really good as well. And I like Jeremy Bernard from Alabama. When I was talking to Matt Miller from ESPN this week, he said, man, Jeremy Bernard is such a Niner. And I would love to see Jeremy Bernard with the Niners. See, that would be a good one. Got $49.99 from Ryan Sandberg.
Thank you, Ryan.
He says, where is Bosa during the broadcast? Anytime the announcers mentioned Warner, the camera goes to him in the owner's box. However, when mentioned Bosa, never show him. Is he around? Would you trade Bosa for Miles? Bosa, three ACLs for Bosa. Bosa is around, you know, but he's not around every day. The guys get to when they're seriously hurt, they can decide what they want to do. Some guys live local and train local. That's Fred. Some guys live don't work local and don't train. Yeah, he lives out in Florida. It's really, I think, if you're a lot of people drawing the same correlation or same connection with Bosa and Ayuk, all I would say is Bosa is probably communicating better about his situation than Ayuk. Carson Taylor, the Niners turned Debo and BA into the bad guys when they decided to not pay them on time, right? BA went from a top five wide receiver to CTE decision making. Okay. Hi, guys. We got Calbum Kamiga. Hi, guys. Do you think the BA situation played into Lynch's trade deadline non-dealings, i.e. not trading high picks for a player knowing you'll likely need to draft another wide receiver? Probably. That would be my guess. And we got this one from McFadden. Ayuk's behavior makes me think his career is over. Okay, that's another guy that thinks that. McFadden says, can Ayuk convince Brendel to skip meetings also? Wishful thinking. SRT, how could you disagree with the poor draft history? It's literally factual, not to mention the second and third rounds. Okay, don't
fanboy take. I like that. I like the hashtag.
Don't go with John that way. Hey, we agree, we disagree. That's why I love John. Maruzic says, if you could poach one player from the Rams or Seahawks right now, who would you take? I'll take Quentin Lake. I like Quentin Lake. Julian Love. I take those two DBs. James Foster, can we get a 0.5 over interceptions for Bryce Young on sleeper?
Yes, you can.
I like
tip
that.
Tip pass Alfred Collins. It's going to be a pick. That's what I want to see happen.
Rooster says every John Lynch first round pick is tore the ACL or is not on the team. Expect Pearsall. Oh God, don't say that. Don't put the hex on Ricky.
That's a trip.
All right, that's gonna do it for us. John's gonna join me over on the KMBR for a few minutes at 10:15. John, great to see you, man.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man.
We only got a minute, but tell people about your next trip real quick.
Yeah, come on out. Cleveland and Indianapolis. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Come party with us. Let's go.
Peace, everybody. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what